Okay, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 11 tonight. But I was thinking, just for a minute, in the 10th chapter, we talked about things, I guess you'd say the application of those, some of those principles there about, you know, sharing the demons table and the table of God and Christ. And we talked a little bit about where could you attend? What places do you not participate in of other religious situations? And I know Linda talked about the idea that we're in Great Britain and it's single cup. Right, Linda?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I talk about a Buddhist temple. And, well, that's a pretty good spread, huh? All right. First of all, you know, there's a certain amount of investigation before you go somewhere, I would think, okay, if something's religious, including a wedding. Aren't we, weddings religious sometimes? Okay. All right. Most of the time, one way or another. And if you went to some wedding and somehow you got to, there's a mass going on or something else, you know, do you participate in that or not? Do you have the attitude of participation? We talked about the idea of going to a one cup, say. Well, that's communion, and that's worship. And, well, if you know that ahead of time, do you actually sit in the front of the building, okay, and get the cup first? Or do you just not take it? Of course, it deals with the point whether you were there or not anyway, okay? See, because you know that in that cup, there's a lot of history on that. Is God talking about the cup or the contents of the cup? Of course, it's the contents of the cup, but that's a definite violation there of, you know, of the revealed word of God. So it's something to think about. If you go to a Catholicism. And Catholicism says what about the fruit of the vine and the bread?
It becomes it.
It is actually the body and blood of Christ. So there's an interesting thing to think about. Okay? If you, well, I can take this, you know, or I can participate in this. So you think about that, and that could happen again. Can Sadeos do that or not? All right? But there's certain mass. Do you kneel down? I mentioned last time I went to some mass on Sundays, and you kneel down. Well, should you kneel down? Does that, see when they flip it? So things like that. Do you when they're saying the talk up there, you know, you always say, and bless Jesus and this and that, well, kind of the comeback, you know, you go kind of a dialogue back and forth with the Father there. And do you say that, or do you say, you know, it talks about the Virgin Mary. I agree with the Virgin Mary, and, you know, I depend on the Virgin Mary. Do you participate in that? See? And there's things to think about ahead of time on that. I mentioned weddings, you know, things like that. Just interesting things to, especially if you're one of the bridesmaids or grooms or something like that. You know, it's good to investigate those things ahead of time because you're giving support. I mentioned last time, too, that, well, it may be a duration thing. Well, it's not a duration thing. It's certainly in there, but it'd be a one-time thing, too, to think about. Because our lives are to glorify God. And to glorify God and glorify Jesus, it's attitude and actions. Attitude and actions combined. And we need to think about that. You know, in reference to our own conscience and others' consciences. What about your conscience? It tells you, well, I shouldn't be doing this. You go to a Pentecostal meeting. And, you know, and they're standing up and they're raising their hands. I've seen that. Okay, do you stand up and raise your hands? Or you sit down? See? I mean, Just interesting thing to think about in life. Not to mention, these are examples, maybe our kids with us or some, who knows what it is, okay? But all those sort of things leave an impression on you. So, just a little add-on. Anybody got any thoughts on that? I've, you know, even if you go to a, we talked about transubstantiation a while ago, that becomes the literal body and body and blood. There's a consubstantiation. Con is that in the Lutheran Eucharist or Lord's Supper, you know, the literal body of Jesus is around it, not of it. Actually, it's in between the molecules, but it's the bread is still there. It's interesting. All right. So there's things to think about on that. See, that's where you get the one cup too. You get that in Lutherans. So it's things to think about when we're dealing with religion and our conscience and that sort of thing. So I think that's, I wanted to get, because someone asked about some practical into that. And there's a lot of things, okay? Do you, I'm going to deviate a little bit, but do you, if you're watching a movie on TV by yourself, do you, and you didn't know or something, and all of a sudden, well, this was a, you know, it was kind of a M movie, you know, on the old one. All of a sudden, they go into all kind of words, you know, and scenes. Well, what do? I just probably want to act. You move on. Well, God's watching. See, those are actions too, aren't they? See, and those can hurt. And your conscience tells you, well, I'd rather turn this off. But boy, sure is a good movie. There's a lot of action in it. Or a war movie with a lot of language. Things like that. So, not to mention influence of others are there. But there's just things to think about, okay, of how things can shape our conscience. Okay.
You know, you mentioned that HDTV is pretty good. Once in a while, you get a show on, and they think, gay couple, lesbian couple, change the channel. I don't even watch it. I just, or if I look at the information, I go, Jeff and Joe. I go, well, what does that tell me? You know, one time I looked at it, they were brothers, which was fine. They were just trying to find them. Place to live, but the majority of them are gay couples, lesbian couples. And it's going to be more and more on TV. It really is. Where did you see it that was really... Is that commercials are just getting to be ridiculous with this kind of lifestyle?
Well, there's a big thing in India this week. They're trying to get all that approved. It's a big deal in India. A lot of people involved.
Get what approved?
Not to... charge. Right now the law says you cannot be gay in India. Okay? And they're trying to get that through Congress. A judge said, you make the law, Congress. I'm not going to judge on this. I guess he wanted to live that day. Alright? But the point is, you make the law. So it's a big deal in all the countries of that. And one quick point. Whether it's language or whether it's attending some religious service, or things we see, the more we see it, our conscience tinged us in the beginning, hopefully. But the more we see it, what happens?
You get accustomed to seeing it.
You get accustomed to it, don't you? Okay?
And it becomes a part of your way of thinking.
It becomes more acceptable, okay? Easier to get by it. So we just have to remember that, okay? And, God warned us about that. I appreciate your thoughts on that and some patience with me on that. Now, 1 Corinthians 11. If you want a lot of material on this, there's a lot of material on it. On head coverings. And I'm not talking just Christian material. Well, members of the church material. All right, but I'm talking, I mean, the denominational world, there's a lot of things on the head coverings and the veil. It goes on and on. And it's a decision you'll have to make on your own. Actually, there's men and women involved in here. All right? And things you need to think about. And because if, in fact, you come to do a decision, then you've shaped your conscience. haven't you? Okay? In the knowledge that you've gained and applying that knowledge. And you want to be careful of your conscience when you do that. Now, this first 16 verses deals with the head covering or veil. There's so much. There's so much. And there's basically four views on that. I'm assuming y'all have read that first 16 verses. Okay, I can read it real quick. Okay, or y'all can read it. But what's it about? What's it about?
It's actually about authority.
Submission and authority.
It's not about wearing a head covering or not wearing a head covering.
Yes, it's but it's about the... There's a sign needed, something, a visible something. I'm going to say on a woman that shows submission or authority. And as you get into the reading too, then modesty is involved in it. All right. And it's kind of a lapel label that shows, you know, you've, in the view that you've got respect for God, respect for the order of the society, that should just today wear that sort of thing, okay? Especially women, okay? Or was it something that was, I'm not going to say peculiar, but it was something common back then, common and even necessary back then.
Go far as to say a custom?
Well, I'm going to get to that, okay? And that shows up in verse 16. And when we, that's why I have one of my points on there. Matter of fact, let's go down to number 4 real quick, all right? Define the word custom. And be thinking, too, of a custom today. Now, a custom is what? Anybody got a definition on that? Yes, ma'am.
It says, practice common to many and a usual way of doing things.
Practice common to many and a usual way of doing things. Okay. Good.
It might be just peculiar to that particular locale or people or and not everyone.
Sure. Sure. It's maybe a peculiar thing to a certain country, to a certain language, a certain region. To tribes, who knows? It's part of the culture sometimes, all right? And if a custom is observed as a common custom, what does one person think of the other? Part of the group, aren't they? Right? That's nothing unusual. It's a custom. But when you violate that normal action, okay, the acceptable thing, how is that person viewed? Different at a minimum, maybe not well. So customs are an interesting thing to deal with and to live by. And real quick, let me say, I'll get to this later. The customs of one's surroundings are not to be ignored or rejected so long as those customs do not violate God's word. All right, so it's something to deal with. Now, in these 16 verses, dealing with what this question that was apparently come up to the apostle, what's going on? What do we do? Should we do it? Should we continue it? What should we do? Okay, and he answers that in those 16 verses. Now. Dealing with this covering, there's one view that, let's see, and that's in verse, let me get this out of here. That when you have this covering in verse 4, that this praying and prophesying, praying and prophesying, okay? Excuse me, verse 5. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one and the same with her whose head is shaved. Now, so there's one view is that this covering was necessary for a woman while she was praying and prophesying. Now, we're fixing to go into a section, 12, 13, and 14, that deals with spiritual gifts, all these gifts I had. It's a pretty long section. And it was, how do you deal with these spiritual gifts that were given, you know, laying on hands and from the apostles. And so, so that it's something that they put on her head, the women did while they were praying and prophesying. Now, did women prophesy in the Old and the New Testament? Yep, I got the verses.
Yes.
All right. In the Old Testament, Mary did in Exodus 15. Deborah did in Judah 4, Judges 4. Huldah did in 2 Kings 22. Noadiah did it in Nehemiah 6. Now, in the New Testament, Anna did it in Luke 2.
Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. And Joel's prophesied in the Old Testament there. He's talked about women prophesying today in Acts 2 and 17. And you see in Acts 21 that four daughters of Philip did that. They prophesied. So we got some Old Testament and New Testament at the time prophesying. So there's... It could be said that, yes, there was women prophesying. So when that occurred, saying that was one of the gifts also, that they would cover their hair, okay, or veil or head covering to show submission. Now, that's one of the views. Another would be the cover. Look at verse 15. But if a woman has long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. So there's another view that says her hair is the covering. And if you look through here, you'll see the lengths of hair is an interesting situation that it talks about in these verses. Long hair, 13, 14, shaven hair in 4 and 5, shorn hair in 6. Long hair in 15 and short hair again in 4 and 5, uncovered. So it's an interesting thing there as a view, as a second view. The hair is the covering. And is under consideration, the length of the hair. And shorn hair is what kind of hair? Snipped off close, right? Well, okay. Shaven is 4 and 5, but shaven is even closer. Now, in our society today, when you see a woman with shaved hair, no hair in her head, what do you think?
Cancer.
Mm-hmm. So that's not the normal custom, is it, of where we live today? So you think something's different, don't you? All right. Okay. So so I'm saying is hair is a noticeable thing. And apparently it's always been that way. And somehow women are able to grow longer hair too, right? Than men do, all right?
Let's not forget verse 14 talks about nature itself. Teach it. If a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him. You go back to the Old Testament with Samson, and he was not to cut his hair. He had to have long hair. That was his strength. So at the time of Samson... It was not.
That's right. So
at this time, it was.
Anyway, it was kind of a distinction between the sexes, I guess you'd say. Longer hair and shorter hair. And so I'm not going to say that's a custom. I'm just saying that's the kind of the way it was. And there's some reasons in here for that. So that's one of the points, too, to deal with is this 16 verses, you know, is the hair the covering? And some good people. Good, solid people Okay? Believe that, all these views. So it's just a thing.
There's
of...
There's another view that's also been brought up to me.
Okay.
That even outside of the worship service, they have their head covered. I mean, they don't leave the bedroom without their head covered with something. And that is taken from, if I'm understanding them correctly, that is taken from, she's not to have her head uncovered while praying. Since women no longer prophesy, but we are told to pray without ceasing and pray at all times. And if we're to be praying at all times, then we need to be having our head covered at all times.
Yes, that you'll find all kind of variables on it. I tend to think when it says in 5, all praying and prophesying and deal with the gifts coming up and all that, I think that that's miraculous involved somewhere.
Even in 13 it says judge for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
For a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered.
Uh-huh. So, again, if you're reading ahead and looking ahead, you'll see the gifts thing is a real important thing, really important thing, a point of great division. And Paul really deals with it hard.
And, you know, the custom changed during the ages. Talk about women wearing veils and head coverings and that kind of thing. During the time of Judah, if you wanted to be a temple harlot as Tamar,
mm-hmm.
supposedly was, she had a veil, and that was a sign of a temple harlot.
That's where I went into the idea of modesty a while ago and that sort of thing. When you have a wedding, maybe not anymore, mm-hmm. right? That changed really in the 60s. Well, that changed. A lot of things changed in the 60s. But what about, remember the veil? You pull up the veil, and there's signifies certain things. Or what was it, a black veil or a white veil? See? Mm-hmm. All this sort of thing, all right? So that veil or and then covering nuns. Nuns have the full pieces, you know, with the collar pieces that wraps around their head. You know, just the nun story is a good movie. You ever seen it, all right?
I mean, it
didn't stop. So what I'm saying, it's been around, okay? And it's still around. Just like you'll see in funerals, the veil is used, a black veil. It's just an interesting thing, all right? So, thing to think about on that. Now, a third idea is in verse 16, where it really plainly states that it was a custom. Okay, something in that area. Apparently, they wore veils anyway. The women did. Okay, and but. Do you do it here in the services with men, and do you do it religiously, and you know, and does it signify modesty and submission at both the same time, or one or the other? So, Paul brings that up. Now, the last thing is this a regulation? Is it a command for all time, for all places? I mean, for us today. See? I mean, would you wear it in this class? Would you wear it in the auditorium only when you're, when worship service is on? Okay? Are you wear it at home? So there's all kind of questions. And it's always an interesting question to me is that if it says you wear it during prayer or prophecy, if you say prayer, just prayer, then so you can wear it and then pray to the audience? That makes it okay, right? I mean, if that's how you pray to the audience, as a woman can, you put your head coat. Well, see, that doesn't happen today, does it?
Well, it didn't then either.
Well, that's right. That's right. It probably did if these are miraculous gifts, okay? And so it's a interesting thing to think about in the approaches on that. Now, If I want to deal with subjection, 1 Peter 3, let's turn there. How is subjection shown? First Peter 3, 5, and 6.
She called him Lord.
Okay.
Be submissive to your own husband, verse 1.
Yes. Now, the submissive goes back to the beginning, doesn't it? Okay? In the violation in the Garden of Eden. And Paul talks about that in verse 3. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, the man is head of woman, and God is the head of Christ. That's the way it is. I remember many years ago, you asked me that question, Dawn. Where is it at in the Bible? You did. Years and years.
Probably years. I'm trying to blank that out.
Well, I'm glad you repented. All right? Mm-hmm. We're all glad. And so it's not unusual to deal with the idea of submission. And Steve, you know, dealt with that, didn't he? Say on Sunday in his sermon.
Ephesians 5 is very clear about Christ, church, husband.
And again, that's not just like eldership. It's not lording over, is it? See, it's just a... Just an order of things, all right? Which God, Paul writes that in 3. So, if you deal with the covering, you remember some of these things. I don't know much else I can add to this, except I've got a lot of material on it if you want to look at it further. It said a man doesn't have one on while he's praying. Okay? Or while he's, because he's in subjection to God directly, I should say. I said, whoa, the Jews, they got that little skull cap they put on. So I looked up that. The skull cap is a kind of a recent thing. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
A recent thing. You thought it was something they brought forward from the beginning, sort of thing, but it wasn't. So that's interesting. So apparently the man, and then you referenced Samson. So it's an interesting thing for you to think about. And I don't know if I want to say much else about it. Not that I'm scared of it. Not at all. But it's something for a decision for you to make, as a woman and as a man. I know back in the years ago, 70s, I guess, maybe 60s, men were growing how much hair? A lot of hair, weren't they? And it's even to the point that some congregations would not let a man serve on the table because of his long hair. All right? If someone's today's got long, a man's got long hair, well, that's their choice. But is it maybe a sign of what they want to do, but is it a sign of rebellion maybe? You don't know. Okay? You don't know. Okay? Is a woman who wants her hair very short? Okay? I understand reasons for that. But is it a... And how much is short and how much is long, all right? But the point is that a point of rebellion? Is it, is that just, I want to be like a man, say, or something? I mean, you don't know people's hearts, but it's an interesting thing to think about. Of course, if you're bald, you're bald, okay?
I ain't looking over here.
Of course, they make wigs, but anyway, don't get them backwards, you're okay, all right? Change your hair color.
I think your point about verse 16 is very they weren't contentious. We don't have any custom like that in the churches of God, And so, don't be contentious about it. The man and the woman and the man. And we don't have that custom.
See, that contentiousness and that strife. Isn't that what we've been talking about from the beginning in this whole letter? See? And that's what the apostle and the Spirit in Christ is trying to deal with. All right? You people are dividing yourselves over things that you may not need to divide yourselves over. Okay? Or things you need to make change in your lives about. And all that goes back, all that division goes back to understanding the gospel. Okay? And we're going to see later that this love for brethren, care for brethren, concern for brethren comes up, you know, coming up here. Especially when we get to the gifts. Because that old thing about arrogance and all that comes up again. And I'm better than you. See, all that sort of thing. And he deals with it in a lot of points. And I apologize for you, to you on that, because in my questions, in 12, when I said number 6, what truths were meant to be learned by the Corinthians using what body parts? Verses 14 through 27. Well, I used that much space. All right? So you might write on the opposite page on that. But it's very good, the approaches on that. Now, let's get back to where we're at. So be thinking about that in reference to coverings and that sort of thing. And this is all in our chapter here, our little group of chapters dealing with personal choice, isn't it? But again, you don't want to violate God's word either, do you? See? Okay, just like, you know, eating meats. There's a certain way to eat meat, sacrifice to animals, a certain way not to it. Do it. Because now you got total freedom. They thought they did have total freedom because I got the wisdom, I got the knowledge. See, I know that it means nothing. But no, it affects you. It affects people around you.
Okay, so I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to kind of where you started the class.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're on vacation and you are, it's a Sunday, you found a local congregation wherever you're vacationing at, and you walk in and they teach on the head covering. That a woman during worship should have her head covered. Well, that's not something that...
Well,
so
I understand. Well,
do you cover for...
No. See, is your conscience... Do you feel your conscience first when you come in? You know that you're different, right?
Mm-hmm. What if it would be a distraction to them for Sandy not to have her head covered?
Yes. Well, but your relationship to God is the first thing you look at in your conscience. All right? Now, for some reason, you got to move there to Alabama. And the congregation a mile away, and the one that doesn't have hair covered, I'm just saying,
right.
Okay, is, I'm going to use an extreme, okay? 60 miles away. Could be. I don't know. All right? And there's an institutional group that's 5 miles away. What do? You got a conscience, right? And you don't want to be disruptive. I don't think you would be these days. You might have been in the 60s. All right? But which one would you attend? Well, you can kind of... deal with that. You attend the one that's 60 miles a day, wouldn't you? Right? It'd be difficult. But God knows your sacrifices.
What?
Get a Civic.
Yeah, get a Civic. A motorcycle will get that kind of mileage.
That's true. No, it's good to burn gas now.
So, now, but, you know, if you're traveling through Alabama and you happen to go into a congregation, you know, just that's the way it works. Okay? Sometimes you got car trouble, but you still want to worship God, don't you? Okay? And you got the deal, go on in. You don't wear the covering. They understand. Okay? And if they're not mature enough to not understand, who's got the problem? See?
But But that was kind of back to the original thing, was maybe there is a new, you don't know who's a new convert and who's not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And by you not having that, could you be a
stumbling block
for the one that is? And then that's what they teach there. So
you make that judgment.
That's the
consideration you give for the other person. That wasn't being done here in Corinth, was it?
Yeah.
See? Matter of fact, they were treating them as useless people. You'll see that when we get another chapter or two. You got that idea, you know, you're lost anyway. All right, you're not needed. You're not a body part that's needed. See? But that is the consideration. All right? And you can accommodate that one way or another. All right? Sometimes just asking, I mean, you won't know which person maybe, but if they've grown up in that, they know. They know. If they travel. These days people travel too. Years ago, people didn't travel very far from home. It used to be, wow, you know, if you got, you know, 100 miles, I mean, that's like going to, you know, to Europe. All right? But these days, everybody travels pretty well, so you see a lot, especially if you attend services when you do travel. All right.
I think it becomes the same kind of issue that Paul had to deal with circumcision. The Jews were trying to bind circumcision onto the Gentiles for a sign of salvation, to be saved, to be God's child. When it comes to circumcising Timothy, he did it for the sake of the Jews going into the temple to teach. When it come to them insisting on this Gentile named Titus to be circumcised, he drew the line. And it wasn't, you know, and he wasn't concerned about hurting their conscience. He drew the line because they were binding it. There are actually people who believe in the covering that say you're going to hell if you don't wear a covering. And so you deal with this the same way Paul dealt with circumcision. If you are dealing with a person who has read this and you want to study with them, yeah, and everything, put the veil on if you're the only one sitting there until the time you can do it, or if it's against their conscience, you know. But, you know, if you have an opportunity, sit down and study 1 Corinthians 11 with them.
What does a woman do if you're over in Iran? Don't wear a face covering.
You don't care. Oh, yes, they do. The military is having to do it.
Where did you say?
Iran.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, what I'm saying.
Iran.
You know, and that's the old burqa thing. Okay, is it a slit with webbing, or is it a wide when you see your eyes, or is it face open, or just something to drape around you, or I think all kind of variations in there. See, it's a big deal. It's a big deal in the Middle East. See? Now, it's claimed to be an idea of modesty. But, man, you want to go to Wikipedia, look up veil there, head covering. It goes on and on. All right? There's a lot to it. But now, that's because we care for women so much. And we want the best for them. Right?
Okay,
you agree with that.
and as you said, it comes down to it's because of custom, or it's because of what people get used to, or what they want, and they don't want to look at the right or wrong.
The sad part about this, sometimes we get into rituals. Let's just say we did wear all the women here did wear a head covering. Well, what does the next generation, do you never teach them it? They just know that's what you do. It's got religious significance to it, or it's got significance to it one way or another. So in customs, we ought to be thinking about those, all right? Especially if we're teaching to others, because by our own actions, we teach to others, don't we? All right? So, you know, what's the fruit of the vine, the bread about? I don't know. I just take it. You know, that sort of thing, or whatever it is, see? Giving, you know, when I was a little kid, I always put a dime in, and now I'm up to a dollar. All right? I bought something. I must be good. All right? See? So there's significance to it. All right? And that's responsibility of the fathers and mothers and whoever can have influence and okay, and teach. All right. Well, let's get the rest of the chapter. We all know the rest of the chapter, I would think. All right? As a matter of fact, even talked about that. And the rest of the chapter, beginning in basically 17, but in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. Boy, there's tongue-in-cheek. And in part, I believe it. Okay, we're talking about the Lord's Supper, aren't we? Okay? And how they were, how they distorted it. They've distorted it. One quick thing here. If you look at the timing of the Gospels, and you see that the Lord's Supper was really dealt with in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're right on the cusp there of whether this was written before those Gospels or not. So what I'm kind of saying is, this may be the first instructions, you know, that they've seen. Of course, when he was there years before. But the point is, instructions that they're getting on this. And apparently they had it before, but they've distorted it. So Paul really, as a proof for him, said he knew the right way to do it when he told it to him. Now he's going to tell it to him again. So thank you all, and we'll move a little faster next time. Please read ahead. Please read ahead. Thank you all.